You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
We're working like heck.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway. It's Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a Monday afternoon edition of the show. Welcome in. Welcome to March. 2 months in here, 2021. Things rolling right along. Bear, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing pretty good, sir. How about yourself?
Doing well, thank you. It's March, man. It is a great and terrible month.
Yeah, I mean, spring is almost sprung.
Mm-hmm.
Next thing you know, it'll be May, and we'll be ready to hit it into the summer.
Well, a couple things. We've got March Madness on the way.
Mm-hmm.
We have spring football starts 3 weeks from today. Josh Heupel will be on the field. He doesn't even have a full coaching staff yet, but by God, they're starting spring practice 3 weeks from today.
I thought he'd already filled out his staff.
Oh, they've got one more spot.
No.
They've got one more spot to fill. So still working through those issues. And, I say it's a terrible – it's not a terrible month. It's a great month. But I have to reckon with something every March. Bear, I come from a family of five, right? Two parents and like most people have two parents. And two brothers as well. My entire family, both parents, both brothers, born in the month of March. And I can never remember when. I'm 40 years old. I do not know my parents' birthdays, my brother's birthdays. All I know is they're born in March. It's just very confusing to me. I love them all, and I will figure it out as we go along, but I've tried, and I just cannot remember the dates. And so, like
my— I've got several family members that are March birthdays as well. My sister and several of my nephews and nieces.
But do you know, like, you have two brothers too, right? Do you know their—
I've got one now.
Well, yeah, but do you know their birthdays and your parents' birthdays?
Yeah, my little brother is February 17th. My older brother's was December 25th. Let's see. My pop's was May 11th. And then my mom's is easy to remember because it's the same day that Jimi Hendrix passed away.
Oh, wow.
September 18th.
See, I feel like that's, I don't know. I've always been very self-conscious of it, Bear. I'm pouring my heart out to you to start the show this week. I feel like a bad son, a bad brother. I don't remember birth. Yeah. It's just weird. Something about the month of March, but I'll get through it. How was your birthday last week, by the way?
It was pretty good. Had a pretty good day.
Did we talk about this already? Was it Thursday or Friday?
I think it was Thursday. We never got an update. I did eat at Chesapeake's or got Chesapeake's for dinner Thursday. Incredible. Shout out to the fine folks at the downtown Chesapeake's location. Great.
Fantastic.
Yeah. But yeah, had a solid birthday.
You passed on the best dessert in town, the strawberry shortcake at Chesapeake's. Because you don't like strawberries.
No.
Because
I got
you're
some
weird.
Apple strudel from Fresh Market, and it was delish.
Mm. Well, another big show to start the week, folks. We have a great one lined up. Brandon Kennedy is going to join the show coming up here in just a few minutes. The former starting center for the Volunteers played 6 years, and I'm going to ask him about this. Technically, I guess he could have come back next season for a seventh year of college football, but he's like 22, 23 years old. He's ready to get on with his life. He signed with the A3 Athletics Agency here in town, so I'm pretty sure he couldn't come back now at this point if he wanted to, but he's going to make a run at pro football, so we'll talk to him about that as well as, I mean, he was up close and personal for the entire Jeremy Pruitt era. All 3 years, he was the starting center. What a view of that.
Well, not only that, he also played for him, or he was on staff when he was at Alabama.
Yeah, played for Nick Saban and Alabama as well. So very interesting story. We will unpack that with him. Then coming up in hour number two, Steve Wiltfong, National Recruiting Director of 247 Sports Sportsradio.com joins the show, and we'll unpack the quarterback recruiting conundrum for Tennessee and Josh Heupel. Surely you've seen by now, Sam Horn commits last night to Missouri, and Tennessee fans are kind of scratching their heads. Why can't we get a quarterback? We got this quarterback guru, and he's whiffed twice so far on Ty Simpson and now Sam Horn. Bear, I'm going to start with a little optimistic, pessimistic, realistic for you.
Okay.
Optimistic take is, it's okay. Sam Horn, Ty Simpson are just high school prospects. There's nothing that says that they're going to be stars at the next level. Plus, we've already got Caden Salter on campus. Harrison Bailey was a five-star, and we have Hendon Hooker transferring in as a dual-threat quarterback with starting experience in the ACC. Pessimistic take is, wow, this guy can't recruit. I mean, he had it teed up. In-state quarterback, grew up a Vol fan, couldn't get him. Goes to his second choice. Son of a former Tennessee football player, grew up a Vol fan, family has season tickets, couldn't get him. What are we doing? What are we doing at quarterback? A lot of unproven talent on campus. This is a complete disaster.
That's I disagree.
That's the pessimistic take. Here's the – I disagree too, Bear. Here is the realistic take, in my opinion. Yes, it sucks that you whiffed on your top two quarterback prospects on your board. But doesn't mean that, A, you can't continue to recruit the both of them. B, you can't go out and find a good quarterback prospect to come in as part of the class of 2022. And furthermore, you have four decent quarterback prospects already on campus. Hendon Hooker has started multiple games for Virginia Tech in the ACC. Harrison Bailey has started games here. He's the incumbent starter returning. You have Caden Salter, four-star prospect, coming in from Cedar Hill, Texas, who we're all very excited about. And I'm the only one banging this drum, but Brian Maurer might be the most physically gifted of all of them. He has SEC experience. He started games here before. Heupel recruited him to UCF, so there's a pre-existing relationship there. If anybody's going to get Brian Maurer to grow up and become an SEC quarterback, it's going to be Josh Heupel. So out of those four prospects, surely, surely a renowned QB guru like Josh Heupel can get somebody to play in a productive rate.
I mean, that's basically where I'm at with it. Minus I hadn't even really contemplated about Maurer, but you know, Heupel's behind the eight ball with this class.
Yeah.
Especially when it comes to quarterbacks, and not really sure what all went on with the Simpson recruitment. You know, the previous staff obviously didn't recruit Horn at all because they thought, you know, Simpson was a lock. I still don't understand why he was such a lock to come play for, you know, Pruitt and company, who didn't show in 3 years that, I mean, they made Butch look like a quarterback genius.
I have a pretty good idea why.
Yeah, I do too.
Knowing what we know about Pruitt,
I want to start off Monday on a
pretty good idea why. And hey, in addition to the reason we could speculate on, we know that Pruitt basically was promised that they were going to hire his dad to be a position coach, which is mind-boggling to me that you would do that. I know it happens. It happens more in basketball and football. I know Muschamp hired
high school type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, I know Muschamp hired Jake Bentley's dad over there, but he was a high school coach, and he wasn't coaching the position, first of all. I think they hired him as running backs or tight ends coach or something like that. But even that, I don't know. That just seems like a weird gamble. Because, first of all, what message does that send to the rest of your roster? What message does that send to Caden Salter and everybody else? It seems like the fix is in.
That should be illegal.
Well, it is kind of. You can't hire him. You can't just hire a guy's dad and put him on staff and quality control. Here's $50,000 a year. Just come hang out and we'll do that to get your son. It has to be a full-time assistant job. But it's still, definitely a little bit shady, I would say, for sure.
I mean, we hired a head coach to get his kid yeah. before here.
But beyond that, Bear, what happens when – first of all, what happens if he's bust? What happens if he can't play or Salter's better? And then, B, what happens when Simpson's gone? Say he's great and he comes in here for 3 years. Is his dad a great coach? Because you can't just turn around and fire him once his son leaves. I mean, I guess you could, but what does that say about your program? It's just a strange deal all the way around. So, a lot of football talk to get to here this afternoon. And then there's the basketball program. Oh, man, I won't bore you with optimistic, pessimistic, realistic here because there's not much to be optimistic about, man. Let's be honest about it. Tennessee basketball is in a tailspin right now. Just not a lot of good vibes coming out of the basketball program. Volunteers out of the top 25 for the first time all season. Who would have thought that coming into the season when Tennessee was pretty much a borderline top 10 team according to everybody, and then within 7 games you had – commentators all over the country talking about Tennessee being a legitimate Final Four contender. And here we are with one regular season game left, and Tennessee is not even ranked. Not even ranked.
We haven't been playing like a team that's deserving of being ranked, Russ.
No. No, we have not. Jerry Palm has us down to a 7 seed playing Wichita State.
Wichita.
I want no part of them.
Nah.
No part of Wichita State.
No. Now we're entering that where what I've been dreading all year is we're going to end up screwing up and ending up on that. You know, I thought it would be 5-12, but, I mean, 5 and below – this team could easily be a one and doneer.
Yeah, well, not only – I mean, just looking at this particular bracket, if somehow we were able to beat Wichita, which my guess is we'd probably be in – they're pretty good. I saw where they – are they winning that league?
I haven't been following them as closely as I normally do.
I believe so.
Well, they fired what's-his-face, and then I saw where they gave the interim – they took the interim tag off because – he's killing it this year. I think they're winning the Missouri Valley. They're not in the Valley anymore. They switched to the AAC. So I think they're winning that league. So that's going to be problematic. Even if we were able to beat them, we'd probably be playing Iowa in the second round if this Jerry Palm bracket were to come to pass. So that's a bad situation, man. You want to win. Tennessee needs some wins. You don't want to be a 7 seed.
On the flip side, if you do end up on that bad side of the bracket, if you get Iowa out of the way, you somehow pull off an upset, you might be sitting pretty good come Sweet 16 time.
That is an optimistic take, Adam Hickman. Well done, sir. Well done. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 546-8200. If you want to jump in here this afternoon, Brandon Kennedy, VFL, coming up here in just a few minutes. Let's squeeze in a call from Don. Good afternoon, Don. You're up first today on the drive.
Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, Don. How's it going?
I'm doing all right. I don't know why anybody on the pessimistic side would think that Apple had anything to do with Ty Simpson, since even though he'd been saying other things, in his interview the other evening, he said that he made up his mind on February the 4th, about, you know, 3-4 days after Coach Heupel got hired.
I can tell you how the pessimistic side would spin that. Josh Heupel's supposed to be a quarterback guru. He was second to the Heisman, won a national championship, put together all these prolific offenses. He should be able to waltz right in here and commit that in-state prospect to come here, Don. That's how that goes.
And hire his dad, you know.
Just hire daddy.
And Pruitt and them, you know, they just ignored Sam Horn. So
maybe that's the answer. Maybe, you know, Heupel still has that one spot that we were just talking. Just hire Jason Simpson. It doesn't even have to give him position. You've got one spot open. Just hire Jason Simpson. We'll let him, I don't know, sweep the floors for 3 years, and we'll fire him as soon as Ty Simpson's done. How about that?
Yeah, that might work. Have you or Byers seen this kid they offered the other day from, I think, Indiana, Greenwood, Indiana? He looks better than either one of the guys we just lost out.
Oh, wait, we're already doing that? We're already saying that the guy that we didn't know of last week is better than both Ty Simpson and Sam Horn?
I didn't say that. He's 4-star, same as Sam Horn.
We moved on quickly.
They look him up.
I did, yeah. Taven Jackson is the young man's name. We'll talk to Wilt Fong about him. He wrote an article on 247 about him. It just sounded like a nice prospect.
Yeah, I did watch his Huddle video. Of course, we know how Huddle is. But, yeah, he looks pretty daggum good. And then they also have offered, I reckon, this kid in somewhere up north, Ohio, I think. He's a 3-star, 6'5", 2-something, big arm type kid. So, yeah, we want to get a good quarterback every year. You can't have too many of them. But I'm kind of like Byers saying even Friday. Ty Simpson's not going to buy. Number one, we may not have needed him for 2-3 more years. Number two, he may not be at Alabama time he is. We would be playing against him because I don't know how tired he might get behind, sitting on the bench watching Bryce Young play.
Yeah. Yeah, I've had that thought for sure, too. And maybe it's a thing where he goes there, and if Bryce Young establishes himself and you know he's coming back for 2022 at that point, and you're Ty Simpson, you're probably not going to beat him out. Just keep an eye on what happens in Knoxville. If Tennessee's offense looks legit and you think you can waltz in there and beat out whoever wins the job next year, you can hop in the transfer portal and come right back to Knoxville without having to sit out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just, I'm disappointed we didn't get either one of those guys. I'm like anybody would be, but I am not panicking whatsoever because I don't think either one of them is going to play for the next couple of years, maybe 3 years, depending on how good – Solder, Bailey, et cetera, plays. So I'm much more worried about losing, some of the other spots like Walter Nolan and these kind of guys than I am Ty Simpson. That's just me.
Well, I'll say Simpson stings. I do think he's going to be – I think he's the real deal. I think he's going to be a really good quarterback at the next level wherever he goes. He might have to ride the pine for a little bit. With Horn, I do wonder that – if he doesn't end up playing baseball. And so that's what it seems like. Those guys rarely work out in college as far as playing football. It seems like if they're baseball players, they usually end up going to play baseball. So we'll see how that one transpires, but he's got time to go find himself a QB, and you never know what's in the transfer portal either. Probably
correct.
The best thing that could happen to Tennessee is if Salter just balls out and takes over that job and becomes the first big time quarterback of the Heupel era.
Yeah, maybe he would. Just talking about the baseball players, that's not exactly what happened with the kid that out of Kansas City, though, was it, Mahomes? Caden, I heard people talking earlier today on some different shows. They thought Caden Martin ought to just go baseball or whatever T's son's first name is. With everything's went on there. If even Tennessee wanted him, I don't think there's any chance in the world Wednesday he'd be announcing for UT, do you?
He might in baseball. I think he's going to he's probably more than likely going to be – I mean, he's a big-time Major League Baseball prospect. Power hitter, and he can – as a pitcher, he throws in the – what I've heard – consistently in the mid-90s as a left-hander with a wicked curveball, and those guys are usually very hard to find and incredibly well compensated in the majors.
Is that the thing where if he were going to commit to Vitello, basically?
Yeah.
Do you just go ahead and take him for – because he's a 4-star in football, too. Do you just for the prestige, so you can say almost as a PR thing, look, we've got our quarterback – this narrative that's going around, we can't sign a quarter. It's not true. We signed our in-state guy. This is our guy. Even if
he has no intention to
play
football.
Yeah, you know that he's going to play baseball. And you know that quarterback is, you want to sign a QB every year. But this particular year, it's not super essential if all four of these guys stick around and compete for the job?
I don't know if they even have to do that. I mean, I think it'd be great for him to, you know, commit to Tennessee baseball, and then I think he could very well end up being, you know, it happens all the time in college baseball. You have kids commit, and then the draft comes around, and so I think there's a chance Caden could end up getting drafted, you know, in the top of that first round with, you know, that big time guaranteed money, kind of similar to how the NBA is, where, you know, who's the kid that's quarterback? Kyler Murray. Kind of same level of talent. Very, very similar, in my opinion. You know, he's not the biggest kid in the world, but he can hit and throw a baseball like nobody else. So, I don't know. I mean, I get what you're saying.
Is that what we're thinking? He's going to commit to Vitello? Or I heard Miami was the other school he was looking
at. I think it's going to come down to either Miami or Tennessee, and I don't think, just my personal opinion, I don't think it's going to be football. I think Caden's got a really good chance to make his name in professional baseball.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well, we'll see what happens there. Caden Martin announcing his decision at Catholic on Wednesday. Folks, stay with us. Coming up next, we have Brandon Kennedy, former Tennessee center, trying to make a jump to the next level, set to join us on the G3 Help Me Hotline. That's coming up next right here on Fan Run Radio. All right, welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell and Bear back with you. Pleased to be joined by a special guest right now on the G3 Help Me Hotline. Brandon Kennedy just finished up his third year with the Vols. He's a six-year college player because of injuries and the like. Brandon, good afternoon. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing very well. Thanks for jumping on with us. Well, I know it was a crazy season. I want to talk to you about that, but what have you been up to since the end of the season?
Yeah, so since the end of the season, you know, I had the opportunity to play in two All-Star games. One was the Tropical Bowl down in Orlando, and then the other one was the Hula Bowl in Hawaii, you know. So I had a great time at both of those.
Brandon, you there? All right, we got disconnected. We'll get him back here in just a minute. I did not know he had a chance to play in the Hula Bowl in Hawaii. That must have been bear. There are worse places you can go and hang out for a week or so.
Absolutely. I'm hoping to get there maybe at the end of the summer.
You're going to Hawaii at the end of the summer?
I mean, either there. I'm planning a couple of trips.
Last week you were going to England. Now you're going to Hawaii.
England's going to be here in about 18 months, hopefully.
I've
got a very close family member that works for one of the major airlines, and he's got me on his list. So I forget how many. I can get, like, free airfare, like, two or three times a year.
Haven't left the county border in at least 10 years, and now all of a sudden you're going out of country across – the Atlantic Ocean, across the Pacific Ocean.
I'm a well-known Anglophile, Russ. Everybody knows this. So love and celebrate everything English.
Okay, well, I'll hear more about that coming up here in just a minute. All right, let's bring Brandon back in here. Brandon, sorry we got disconnected, but you were talking about playing in those All-Star games. That had to be a very cool experience. What are your prospects for the pro level? I know you just signed with A3 here locally. What are they telling you about your chances of making the NFL?
Yeah, so definitely they're saying my chances are very high. Right now, my stock, as you would say, is a seventh round of free agent. But, you know, teams really like me and the versatility that I bring, and they also like, you know, my intelligence with me being a center. So those are kind of things that I've been talking with teams about, and that's kind of how that process is going thus far. Currently, I'm training here in Knoxville at D1 Sports. So I've been getting all my training there and work there. And, you know, I'm just waiting for pro day on the 25th at this point.
Now, let me ask you this. You were a six-year senior this past season. Of course, with COVID, they said anybody who wants to come back can come back. Did you have the option to play a seventh season at Tennessee if that's something you wanted to do?
Yes, I definitely had an opportunity, though. But after my fifth year, redshirt senior year, I decided to come back for a sixth year, and I knew, you know, whatever happened after that, I wanted to be done with my college career because I felt like I, given everything I had, you know, for the university and also for myself. So I felt like that after that, it was time for me to pursue the NFL.
Yeah, that would be pretty wild. I don't know of anybody that's had a seven-year college career. Is that even a thing? Is do you know of anybody that might be doing that next year?
No, I definitely don't. But I do mess with some of the guys on the team about the sixth year because they always call me the old man in the locker room. So now I'm able to mess with other guys that, that took that Kobe year and came back. So
yeah, there'll be some veterans out there for sure. Talking with Brandon Kennedy, just wrapped up his playing career at UT, playing center for the Vols for 3 years. All right, Brandon, I know you're probably tired of talking. I'm sure all your friends and family have asked you about this, but got to ask you publicly here on the show, what went wrong for the Vols last year?
Yeah, I'll be completely honest with you. I think the, you know, preseason, dealing with COVID, starting back from when we were all at home in March and around April or whenever we went home, I think once we came back and dealing with the COVID protocols, such as, you know, like when somebody had to be out or with close contact or either contracting the virus, dealing with those two things going into fall camp, I think that really kind of hurt our chemistry. And you could kind of see that, you know, on the field in certain places. And I think that was one of the most glaring concerns that we had going into the season. You know, we didn't, especially with the younger guys, kind of the freshmen, that kind of you seen at the end of the season, you know, some of the freshmen kind of stepped up. But at the beginning of the season and in preseason camp, it was just always, you know, somebody was out and we had to work with what we had. And, you know, that was kind of the whole thing of the season. And I feel like that really hurt us, you know, especially going to after we got, you know, on into the season, and it really showed. So that was kind of how I seen it.
Take me back to that third game, Brandon. You guys are leading Georgia at the half. You just had that great goal line stand. You go into the locker room. What is said at that point, and what is the feeling on the team coming out of that locker room?
Yeah, well, we definitely came out. We came out excited, and we came out confident. You know, we offensively, from that perspective, you know, we didn't have the first half that we wanted, but we were still in the game. And so that was kind of what we said. We need to execute better, and the things that we were doing, we just need to do it better. So that was kind of what we said going, you know, back out onto the field. And, you know, we were all confident. Everybody was pumped coming back out from halftime.
Talk with Brandon Kennedy this afternoon on The Drive. Then, of course, from there, Brandon, get into a long losing streak. I'm sure that was incredibly frustrating. What about leading up to the A&M game? And I know you were contact traced out of some games. I don't know if you had COVID or not, but you did miss some games down the stretch. Leading up to that last game, of course, the schedule was screwy, or they kept moving games around and everything. And then the day before that game, I'm sure when you're told that, look, Eric Gray's not going to be available, Maurer's not going to be available, that had to have been a huge distraction as well. How hard at that point was it for you guys to focus as a team?
Yeah, well, honestly, I didn't even know until we got into the locker room, and then I was kind of told that. But, it was definitely hard knowing that and, you know, having to adjust. And kind of like I was saying earlier, it was always something the whole season that we had to deal with. And I think, you know, that just kind of added to it, so definitely.
What was your action after the season? I know you said you went to play in the bowl games, the All-Star games that you participated in, so obviously you were preoccupied with that, but I'm sure it had to be shocking for you to hear that Coach Pruitt had been fired. What was your reaction when you heard that there was going to be another coaching change at Tennessee?
Yeah, I was definitely shocked because, you know, I came to Tennessee and, you know, Coach Pruitt gave me the opportunity to come here and play and also get a master's degree. So, yeah, it was definitely shocking. Just to see that, you know, he was here for 3 years and he worked as hard as he could and did the best, you know, what he had on the roster with coaches and whatever. So I feel like, you know, it was kind of hard to see, especially me and knowing him before I got to Tennessee. So that was kind of hard. It was shocking to me.
Brandon, I'm sure you've heard all sorts of rumors, the same stuff we have about the NCAA investigation, all that stuff. We heard about the McDonald's bags and all that. Did you ever see anything like that in your time at Tennessee, or is that kind of news to you?
Yeah, it was definitely news to me. You know, I was kind of the older guy on campus, so I didn't really deal with recruiting or anything like that too much. So, yeah, that was all new to me, and I never knew anything about that.
So if you got a McDonald's bag, there was nothing in it but a Big Mac, is what you're telling us.
Yeah.
Brandon Kennedy with us this afternoon on the show. All right, Brandon, let's talk about the future of the program. I know you still have a lot of friends on the team, obviously. What are they telling you about what the transition has been like to Josh Heupel, the new coaching staff, and what are your thoughts on next year?
Yeah, well, from the guys I talked to, I've actually had the opportunity to go over there. But, you know, they're all excited. You know, this is kind of like a different vibe with the program. So, you know, their offense is going to be up-tempo now, and, you know, they got new defensive coaches there. So everything's changed. You know, nothing's the same, whole new coaching staff and support staff. So, you know, that's different. And, you know, just talking to the offensive lineman, you know, with the offensive coordinator, he's known for scoring fast. So, you know, as an offensive lineman, you know, you got to be in shape and you got to be able to play at a high level for, you know, for fast. So that's kind of thing that we talked about and I've kind of heard from them. But they're all excited, though, about this new opportunity they have coming up for next season. And I am as well to see it. You know, now that I'm a former player, you know, it'll be in a different perspective, but I'm definitely ready to see it.
Yeah, it sounds like they're going to play a lot faster on the offensive side of the ball. Some of your former offensive line teammates having to maybe drop some weight, getting a little bit better cardiovascular condition to play this way?
Yeah, most definitely. Because, you know, last year we had dabbled in a little bit of a hurry up, but nothing like kind of the offense that they're in now. So, yeah, most definitely shed some weight and be able to play, you know, fast and at a high level playing fast.
Now, you were kind of the leader and anchor of that offensive line for certainly last year, really the past three seasons. Who takes over and inherits that leadership role now that both you and Trey Smith are gone?
Yeah, I definitely give that to Jerome Carvin or Cade Mays. Like, those two guys, you know, they played a lot of football, and I think they'll be very good players, and they'll be names that you'll be hearing, you know, in the future. And so I think, you know, those two guys, they did a good job last year, you know, with Kay coming to the program, with Jerome already being there. I feel like they did a good job playing last year and trying to take more of a leadership role. So I believe that this year they'll kind of step into that and it'll be kind of more natural for them.
Talking with Brandon Kennedy this afternoon on the show. And Brandon, as you get set to move on with the next phase of your football career, move on with your post-college life, and you came to Tennessee from Alabama. People forget that, you know, you transferred and came in here, like you mentioned earlier, with Jeremy Pruitt. These three seasons, you got to play for two different SEC schools. You got to play in Nick Saban's program and here at Tennessee. What are your favorite college memories? Is that something you've had time to reflect on yet?
Yeah, I mean, well, definitely. I can tell you from a perspective of both schools, but, you know, at Alabama, I think, you know, my best memory was winning the national championship my freshman year back in 2015 when we were in Arizona. That was kind of that was one of my favorite memories. You know, I was fresh out of high school. I redshirted the first year, so I had kind of a different perspective of seeing the win. But, you know, to be able to win a national championship your first year in college is something that was exciting and, you know, not a lot of people can say. And then moving to Tennessee and kind of thinking about the memories that I created here, I would think that, you know, I got kind of two memories of the win over South Carolina that we had in 2019, and then also the Tax Slayer Bowl down in Jacksonville, that comeback win, that was very special. And, you know, I always remember those moments. But, you know, those are just, you know, some of the many moments that I'll always cherish forever.
No doubt. Brandon, really appreciate your time. We will be watching you. Good luck as you prepare for the NFL. We hope you're able to catch on with the team and enjoy some professional football and make a little money doing it as well. Brandon, really appreciate you. It was a pleasure watching you these past 3 years. Best of luck to you in the future.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. That's Brandon Kennedy, VFL, starting center on the Volunteers offensive line these past three seasons and trying to make it at the next level. And certainly a lot of Tennessee fans will be wishing him the very best there. portion of the show brought to you by our friends at FanDuel. Folks, I love FanDuel because it takes the NBA regular season and really makes it so much more interesting. I've already done a couple of these same-game parlays with the NBA this year. There's so many different market options that you can use, the player point totals, the rebounds, assists, all that stuff. It's a same-game parlay bet. Go try one out over at FanDuel. It's a cool way to root for your favorite players, too. You can find former Vols, Tobias Harris or Josh Richardson, and build your parlay around them. It's a chance to put down a small bet and win big. Odds are high, which results in great payouts over at FanDuel. Same game parlay. You can go check it out. Download the free FanDuel app right now. Don't forget, new and existing users can get up to $25 in site credit back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with the same game parlay insurance at FanDuel. Check them out. Use our promo code DRIVE1 at sign up. That's promo code DRIVE1. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $25. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, a lot to unpack there. We're going to take a quick timeout. The Drive continues. More Fan Run Radio coming up. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Excellent appearance by Brandon Kennedy on the G3 Help Me Hotlines. Bear, what did you learn?
That he didn't really consider that seventh year. Thought it was cool.
Yeah. 7 year. There's going to be some guy somewhere next year that's playing his seventh year of college football, I would think.
Yeah, and what's wild about it is, you know, I started thinking about, we was talking about, you know, his freshman year going out to Arizona with Alabama and thinking, you know, he was playing this year with some kids that were, you know, in middle school when he started his college career.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, he's one of the old dudes.
One of the old dudes, yeah. It's
wish him well. What a super nice, you can't call him a kid. I mean, he's, you know, 24. I mean, he's a fine young man, and wish him all the best. So I'm glad that he came here.
Yeah, very cool, no doubt. How about this nugget from David Ubbin in The Athletic about Tennessee's offense? Tennessee ran 660 plays last year.
Mm-hmm.
Three of those plays went for more than 40 yards. So we had three monster plays. I'm trying to remember, what were some of our 40-yard plays last year?
Touchdown pass to Hyatt against Bama, and Neyland would have to be one, right?
Is that about an 80-yarder? That was a long one, right?
That was a pretty long one.
I want to say there was another one in the Bama game to it wasn't a Hyatt, what? Or was it? In the corner, the south end zone?
Yeah, because he had two long touchdowns that game. And I feel like
I guess those two to Hyatt, and then
the other two had to be in the Vandy game.
Eric Gray had a big one in the Vandy game, didn't he?
Yeah, Eric Gray had a big rush, and I believe Hyatt again.
But there's one to Velus Jones. Remember, he like bounced off a guy and then took it to the house. I think that one was pretty long. So anyway, 660 plays total last year. Three went for more than 40 yards. No team in college football that played more than 9 games had fewer than that. Conversely, Ole Miss had 18 plays of 40 yards or more. Guess who led the nation with 24 plays of 40 yards or more?
Alabama.
Oh, come on, Bear. Come on, huh? Teed it up for you.
UCF.
There you go, Adam. Well done, sir. Yep. UCF, the only one other team that played 10 games or fewer last year, had more than 19. That might have been Alabama. I'm not sure. But UCF led the country in 40-yard plays last season. Going to be a little bit different offensive philosophy, I would say, in Knoxville.
Yeah, one understands the modern offensive game. The other one couldn't spell his own name if you spotted him a J and a Y.
Wow, that's harsh. 865-546-8200, your number to get on the show. Bear coming off the top rope on Jeremy Pruitt to start the week.
Cornbread.
865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, you want to comment on anything Brandon Kennedy had to say, we've got Steve Wiltfong coming up in hour number two of the show. 247 recruiting guru on the program. Elsewhere, you got a Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question for you we're going to get into. So Bruce Pearl wins his sixth in a row against Rick Barnes. I mean, you talk about a coach that has another coach's number. Rick Barnes.
What's you know what's wild is that Barnes won the first three when he got here with a horrible, horrible roster.
We thought it was going to be okay. We didn't see this coming. Yeah, and Pearl's roster was not very good either, but neither was ours. And yet, I remember in the SEC tournament that first year, we strapped them by like 30.
Yeah.
And now we cannot buy a win. We play their team. They're decimated. They have no point guard. And they run through us like a hot knife through butter the other day. I know it seemed close at times, but it was really not that close. Every time we made some sort of a run, they answered almost immediately. We could not cover. And again, we just get nothing from our inside guys. It's just
no. I mean, it felt very similar to the LSU game.
Yeah, Fulkerson, 4 points in 19 minutes. Didn't even play him that much. I was going back and look. One number that stood out to me, and maybe I have to. I always try and be careful. We talk about X's and O's too much on the show because, first of all, it's kind of boring sports radio. But second of all, we're just a couple radio guys. Like, I'm not a coach. I don't profess to be, but it's hard not to, especially when you get to this point in the season and you're getting ready for the tournament. Everybody's a basketball expert, right? Everybody has a prescription. And my immediately, there was a point 4 minutes to go. It was still a 7-point game or something like that. It was fluctuating between 7 and 9 points. And we're still playing the two big lineup, Fulkerson and Pons. And Fulkerson has just given us nothing. And Victor Bailey Jr., who is 3 of 8, he made 3 3-pointers the other night. I'm thinking, man, why is he not on the floor? And they put him back in, and he fouled out immediately, so he didn't have a great impact down the stretch. But we've had this conversation about we need to be playing four guards and only play one of play Pons for the most part and let Fulkerson spell him if he's not going to give us any more. Who do you think had the worst plus minus on the team the other night, Bear?
The other night?
Yeah.
I feel like this is a trick question, so I'm going to go with Keon.
It was Victor Bailey. He was minus 11. So maybe throw my theory out the window.
How did they come up with that number? I've never really understood that anyhow.
You don't know what the plus minus is?
Nah.
It's
understand
very,
point spreads, Russ. You want me to understand an esoteric basketball?
This is
rating?
An esoteric. This is very simple. This is very simple. Okay, I'll explain. Like, I don't even have to explain this. Okay, this is simple.
Okay.
So Victor Bailey played 27 minutes and 6 seconds in the game. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Simple enough. For those 27 minutes and 6 seconds, Tennessee was outscored by 11 points. That's all it is.
I feel like they're putting everything on my man, Victor Bailey.
Well, it is not the be-all, end-all stat. There are some people who say that plus-minus is very – it's like time of possession in football. It doesn't matter that much. I know Bruce Pearl loved that stat. He was the first guy I ever heard talk about the stat. But there are some – because it's dependent on, first of all, the other four guys that are on the floor with you, but it's also – dependent on the other team and who they're playing. So it's not a huge stat, but I do think it is somewhat indicative of it can't just be ignored.
I would have guessed Triple J because that's probably one of the worst games I think I've seen him play.
And to And to just further illustrate the pointlessness, some would say, of the statistic, who do you think our leading plus-minus guy was?
Triple J.
Kamwa.
Oh.
He was +3, but he only played 4 minutes. So.
Not to brag on myself, but I always had the highest plus-minus in high school
back
in the day.
Nobody was keeping a plus-minus for Northview Academy.
We had a statistician on the bench.
That kept a plus-minus?
Yeah, he did.
No.
He did. Promise.
I don't know how they keep half these stats anymore. They've got those mid-range jumper stats. Somebody's out there, and I guess you have to go back after the game and chart where every shot came from. But anyway, I do think here's the deal this season. We'll ponder this during the top of the hour break.
All right.
There's still time. March Madness, there's a reason the word madness is in that phrase, right? Anything can happen. It gets crazy. Doesn't look good right now. There is not a good vibe on this team. Hasn't been for a long, long time. And I totally get those of you who say, stick a fork in them, they're done. But if Russell were coaching this team, if we fired Rick Barnes and installed me as head coach, first of all, we're screwed. But second of all, I continue to do what I think Barnes is doing, but I just go all in at this point, and that is just put the ball in Springer and Johnson's hands, continue to let them take over this team, because that's the only hope we have of any sort of meaningful run. Those are good players. They're good players, and Keon woke up the other night after an off night at Vanderbilt. He dropped 23. I just think at this point, Bear, we're going to have to ride those two freshmen as far as they can take us, and it might not be far. But if I'm going down, that's how I'm going down.
Me as well, Russ.
Stay with us.
Every shot.
Hour number two of The Drive. Adam will have your top four. We'll get right back to these phones when we continue next on Fan Run Radio.